Well, good morning, Harvest family. So good to see everyone. So good to see some of our visitors, return visitors, as well as visitors this morning. Good to see some of our snowbirds making their way back. All right, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We're so glad you're here, and our choir will sing for us, and we'll get started this morning. Let me challenge you, remind you, put away the cares of the world, and just say, Lord, help me today to worship. Help me today to enjoy myself and enjoy other church folks that are here today as we worship the Lord together. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the blessings and joy of service and in fellowship. Pray that you meet with us today, Father, and do what only you could do in our hearts and our minds, Father. Help us to put away the cares and concerns of the world and prepare to worship and prepare our hearts to hear from heaven today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
I have a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land.
I'll join.
Just join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land. I am on my way to those mansions fair, just over in the glory land. There to sing God's praise and his glory share, just over in the glory land.
Just
over in the glory land, just in the happy angel band, just over in the glory land,
just
over in the glory land,
with
yes, with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land.
What a joyful thought that my Lord I'll see, just over in the glory land.
And with kindred saved there forever be, just over in the glory land.
With the blood-washed throng I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land. Glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land.
His love who died for me. That's what reaching the world is all about. Amen. Telling others about what the Lord has done in our life. I'm so looking forward to our missions conference in May. But until then, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your giving here at home as we worship together here in just a moment with the giving of our tithes and offering. God has been so good to us, and thank you for your faithfulness to give. And let's continue to labor and give and work together to reach our community as well as the world for Christ. All right, Brother Kevin, would you please ask God's blessings upon our tithes and offerings this morning?
Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is to be in your house this morning. In a world of turmoil and danger, this is our safe place, as they like to say. This is our fortress. This is our island. Father, you are our fortress. You have given us so much, Lord, and you ask that we give a little bit of what you have given us back. Lord, as we present these offerings and gifts to you, we ask that those who administer these funds will do so with love and discernment and devotion to you. We thank you again, Lord, and we bless your name in the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. As we go to the Lord in prayer together this morning, let's please pray for one another. Pray for me as I prepare to preach. Of course, we have some special music to come as well, but also pray here for the ministries of our church as well as our community. Let's go before the throne of grace together. Father, as we come before thy throne this morning, we are so grateful for the privilege and opportunity for the access that you have given us that we may come boldly before thy throne. Father, we pray that you would do what only you could do this morning, and you'd meet and meet every need of every heart and every soul that is represented this morning. Father, I pray there's anyone here today that has any questions or doubt about where they will spend eternity, that today would be their day of salvation. May any Christian who's been struggling in some areas as we continue to go through the Bible tonight and 2 John, that you'd work in their heart and show them some things that maybe that need to be corrected, some things that need to work on, wherever it may be. But Father, most importantly, help us to be obedient and responding to the Holy Spirit as you lead and work in our lives. Father, we thank you for the men of Harvest Baptist Church. We pray that you would bless them, put a hedge about them, protect them from sin, protect them from physical harm and distress. Father, guard their eyes, their ears, their tongue. Help them to labor and say and do the things that's pleasing unto thee. Pray that you'd help them to be the godly example at home in their community as well as here at on our church grounds. I pray that you'd use them to make a difference in the life of someone else. Help each of us men to be thriving and looking for opportunities to be a blessing and a mentor to someone else who's growing in the Lord. Help us to seek out someone that would help us in accountability, that iron sharpeneth iron, that we may walk closer to you, Lord, with the help of our brother in Christ as we pray and encourage one another. Father, bless our ladies. How honored we are, Lord, to have our ladies here at Harvest Baptist Church, and grateful for their desire, Lord, to serve you, to live for you, and to make a difference in the lives of others here in our community in Harvest Baptist Church. Thank you for those who labor in our children's ministries, the nursery, those who work security here on our church grounds. We are so grateful for those and others who do little things behind the scenes just in preparation for the church service or in keeping up with the facilities that we have. We are so blessed. Thank you for them. Bless them, encourage them, strengthen them. And the Father, again, I pray that you'd help me this morning. Give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech. Help me to be obedient unto thee, Lord, and not be concerned about who may or may not be here this morning, but help me to preach and to teach as what you've put on my heart as we prepared for this week. And Father, again, we ask that you do what only you can do in the midst of us today, and we'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. For we ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Hunt, don't sit down yet. Brother Hunt, don't sit down yet. Why don't you go ahead and turn around and share some good news with our church family. Continue to pray for Brother Hunt and those on the committee, those and his doctors who are advocating for him, that see that on that list. Once he makes a list, it could be very, very easily anywhere from one day to 6 months. We don't know, but please keep him in prayer. All right, and let's go ahead and look at our passage this morning. We'll pick back up where we left off, a loving warning to heed, and we looked at last week. We'll go ahead and read this verse again and go forward this morning before our special music comes. 2 John verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not these things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. We'll look at that first part again. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought.
Have you ever tried to tell an unbeliever what it means to put your faith in a God you have never seen? No matter how you search to find the words, they still wonder how your heart can be so sure. But if you've ever heard a mother pray for God to keep her child safe and hold the future in his hands, or gathered round a loved one's grave, offering up a song of praise, knowing that you're gonna meet again. If you face the storms this world brings, the hurt, the pain, the suffering, I know somehow you're gonna be all right. I can't explain it any other way than just to say that's what faith looks like. If you've ever claimed the promises of God to get you through a struggle that you're up against, no one knows but you. You pray believing in the Father's plan, till you find the strength to leave it in his hands. 'Cause if you've ever heard a mother pray for God to keep her child safe and hold the future in his hands, gathered round a loved one's grave and offer up a song of praise, knowing that you're gonna meet again. If you face the storms this world brings, the hurt, the pain, the suffering, I know somehow you're gonna be all right. I can't explain it any other way than just to say that's what faith looks like. I'm gonna live what I believe, trust what I can't see, just to say that's what faith looks like. That's what faith looks like.
That's what faith looks like. Well, I don't know if this is the right type of faith or not, but those of you who have not heard, our daughter Kayla is expecting baby number 5, and I am praying for a healthy baby, but I'm praying for a little boy by faith. because we have 13. This will be grandbaby number 13. And in fact, I'm asking, are you sure we can't have one more? Because I hate to end on an odd number of 13. But here's why I'm praying for a little boy. I have endured enough painting of fingernails and playing tea parties and princesses and dress up and going to activities and things where that is a goal. And we were at an activity the other night with the girls. And I looked across the row and my son-in-law was sitting at the end, and I asked him real loud because the noise was so loud, are you having fun yet? Because I think he was having as much fun as I was with the princess program that was going on and the guys and this thing over and over. Don't misunderstand me. I love my granddaughters, and they know that I love them. But I hope this, and I've already nicknamed the little one Peanut, but I'm praying that God, it'll be a healthy baby, but it would be a little boy. I look forward to still throwing Barbie dolls around, throwing a softball or a football or kicking a soccer ball. Not that these girls aren't willing to do that as well, but I would like to replace some of those dress-ups and tea parties with another activity. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get back to more serious things here with the scriptures this morning. A loving warning to heed, as we mentioned, we talked this past week. Remember, we said, look out and examine yourself. And we talked about the difficulty of self-examination. We talked about the reasons for self-examination. And today we'll look at two more principles in that area. And letter C, or the third one on our list in reference to self-examination, is the desire for purity will lead to self-examination. The desire for purity. If we have a desire to walk with the Lord, to keep short accounts, as we've talked about, that desire of purity will lead to self-examination. You see, the person who has a desire to be pure and maintain a close relationship with Jesus Christ will want to know if there's anything in his life that will hurt their walk with God. His relationship with the Lord is important. It is imperative. It is a priority in their life. But I want to keep short accounts. I want to have a good relationship with my Lord. If he is drifting away from the Lord, he wants to know it right away if he begins to drift. He wants to know before he drifts too far or things become worse. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 139 in verse 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What a plea and cry unto the Lord. Purity desires to follow God's leading and direction. Gentlemen, if you've fathered girls, you know what I'm talking about in this sense. How often do you remember when they were little growing up, getting all dressed up, would come run to you and stand up in front of you and say, how do I look, Daddy? They want you to tell them they look nice. They want you to look over them. And that's exactly the same principle as we go to our Heavenly Father. Search me, O God. Try me. Know my heart. And then we see in Job 13 and verse 23, Job wanted the Lord to show him where his weaknesses were in life. He says, how many are mine iniquities and sins? It wasn't a question if there were. He knows there are, but how many? Make me to know my transgressions and my sin. Bring it to my attention. And as we pray, Lord, if I'm missing anything, Lord, if I'm overlooking anything in my life that needs to be sharpened, that needs to be cleansed, Lord, show me as I talk to you. Matthew chapter 26 and 22, in verse 22, we see the disciples, and they say, and they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Why? Because they were concerned when Jesus informed them that one would betray him that very night. Why were they concerned? Well, one answer is that they desired to correct their problem before they betray him. The men that loved the Lord were very concerned about their relationship and their walk with him. The fact that they wondered if it was one of them, maybe that would reveal there may be sin and problems in their lives that would cause them to betray the Lord. They knew their hearts better than anyone else. This is why they wondered, is it I? Will I be the one to betray the Lord? Christian, do we ask that as we pray? Lord, am I close to betraying you? Lord, am I walking the way I should? Lord, try me, search me, O God. Know my heart, try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me to the way of everlasting. Show me that I might keep short accounts. Dear friend, are you willing to respond to the Lord as he searches your heart for any sin or any hindrance? Dear friends, it is, I know it can be scary, but it's even more essential than asking your wife to try you. Asking your wife, did I forget anything that I was supposed to do today? This is more helpful for us spiritually as we walk for the Lord. Dear friends, do you desire his leading in your life? Listen, you won't mind if God searches your heart if you keep it clean and open to him. You won't mind if you desire to walk with him. See, if your life is truly right with God, you will have the attitude, Lord, come into my life and make yourself at home. Lord, try me, search me on a daily basis. Lord, search me minute by minute, hour by hour, whatever it takes, Lord. Show yourself strong in my life because I desire to please you. I have nothing to hide. Dear friends, that is a tough statement to make. Lord, move in and take residence. And let me remind you, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you've already asked the Spirit of God to move in and take residence. Here's the difference. Lord, not only make yourself at home in my life, please point out every time I begin to step away. Before I even think it, before I even put myself in that position, Lord, warn me. And if I've already done it, Father, show me that I have, that I might make it right. The desire for purity will lead to self-examination. It will lead to inviting the Lord into your daily life and say, Lord, try me. Let me put it another way. Have you ever looked at your day at the end of the day and reflected back and asked yourself this question? What have I done anything different? What have I said anything different today with the realization the Lord was walking with me? Do I think about it enough that he is walking with me? Letter D, the second thing for this morning, but the fourth thing through our series. Self-examination should include the Lord. Kind of a repetition for going for the Lord. Yes, it'll lead to self-examination. That self-examination will include the Lord, and we'll go deeper into that. Psalm 26 and verse 2. Again, examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Here, the word examine here means to scrutinize, to try, or to examine. The psalmist wanted the Lord to scrutinize him and to test him. Examine me, O Lord, prove me. This idea behind the word prove in our passage means to put to the test. He continues to ask the Lord and goes a little further, not just examine, not just prove, but try his reins and heart. The word try is the same word that was used to describe a goldsmith who smelted and refined gold to remove the impurities within it. The psalmist wanted the Lord to purify his conscience. Not only do we want the Lord to purify our conscience, but what about our motives, our inner thoughts? See, if we have a passion for purity and a hatred for hypocrisy, we will say, Lord, examine, prove, try. Not just to examine, Lord, but really give me that second look, that harder look, and then reveal and show me. We should hate it even more, this hypocrisy within ourselves. One of the reasons for self-examination is to weed out hypocrisy from our lives so that our effectiveness for Christ is not hindered. Again, the reason for self-examination is to weed out. And if you live in Arizona, which we all do right now, we know what weeds are. Coming from the East Coast to having a beautiful green lush yard, it was a little bit different because I would go out and put the weed and the fertilizer on together through my yard. And I even measured to cut the grass because it stood up better at this height than it did this height. And I put some time into it, put that fertilizer on there. Didn't have to worry so much about weeding except for those dandelions that come around. Then that was a different story. But here, it seems like if there's just a little bit of rain, That doesn't have to be much. And then sunshine, they begin to pop up. And when we do the weeding, here's what I'm concerned about. The Lord convicted me and had this thought this morning as I looked over my notes. I go through my yard, and every morning when we come back from a walk, I kind of give it a scan in the front yard to see if there's any weeds. And I walk through my yard. I go up one way, and then I turn around and go to the next. I just don't scan over. I walk a path and go back and forth. I look for those weeds, and boy, I spray them and take care of them. And I go through the whole yard. And then when I get through, I go back and do it one more time to make sure I didn't miss anything. Talking about examining, trying, and proving. Are we the same way, asking the Lord to do the same thing in our hearts and our lives? Do we want to be weeded and cleaned out and purified bad enough that we say, Lord, run your paces. Lord, run me over one more time. Lord, just run over my life. Run through my life and go through it. Show me, point out anything. And Lord, apply the application of the Holy Spirit and kill that weeds of sin in my life that I may be rid of them. Here in our passage of scripture there in Psalms 26, David wanted the Lord to look for flaws and to test his durability and his desire. It is one thing to examine something. It is another matter to prove or test. And that is a reason for making those laps through my yard. Not only once to spray, but one more time just to make sure that I didn't miss anything. Lord, show me. Lord, are you sure I'm doing right? Lord, are you sure there's nothing that comes to mind that I need to correct? Lord, look one more time, Lord. Go over it again. Help me. Show me, Lord. You see, testing involves pressure to see if something will hold up to a strain or if it will break under stress or pressure. Testing also involves the determination to see if something is genuine and fulfills what it claims to be in our life. David said, look, Lord, look, Lord, look me over real close and make sure I am genuine and I am durable in my walk. He wanted to know where he was weak and what needed to be strengthened because it was important to him. Is it important to you? It is important to us to do the self-examination and include the Lord and say, Lord, examine, try me, test me, go over it. Lord, show me what needs to be corrected. Beloved, when we go through trials, God is testing our durability under stress and under pressure. Sometimes it seems overwhelming. Sometimes it seems hard, but we invite him in. We want him to be a part of that. Sometimes we'll go through some trials. We'll go through some testing that we might come out pure as gold. Dear friends, God may also use the fires, again, of our trials to refine us like gold and remove the dross from our lives. He may use the trial to get our attention so that we can examine ourselves. I want to attempt a little bit, if I may have to stick to my notes because I get tickled every time I try to review this, but I want to attempt a humorous story to illustrate how we often create our problems and yet we blame others. In other words, we want to go through and we want to do the gardening, we want to do the weeding, and we find and the Lord points out something in our life that needs to be pulled up. But instead of wanting to pull it up, we want to blame someone else as why the weed is there. It's easy for me to say, well, you know, that guy was here last week to spray that emergency. It should have been done. It should have been gone. I don't know why it's there. I don't know. I did this last week. Maybe this stuff just isn't working. The bottom line is the Holy Spirit reminded us the previous time, did we do something about it? The Holy Spirit is strong enough for application on the weeds and sins of our life to get rid of them. It's our fault when we don't allow the application to take effect, when we want to do things our way. So we need to make sure that we don't blame others. So I've removed names to protect the innocent. So an Idaho farmer, a former army brat from Arizona, and a redneck were doing some construction on a tall building. At lunchtime, the Idaho farmer opened his lunchbox and said, lentil soup? If I get lentil soup one more time for lunch, I'm going to just jump off this building. The former army brat opened his lunchbox and exclaimed, sea rations again? If I get sea rations one more time, I'm also going to jump off this building. The redneck opened his lunch and said, fried bologna again? If I get fried bologna one more time, I'm jumping too. The next day, the Idaho farmer opens up his lunchbox, sees lentil soup, and jumps off. The former Army brat opens his lunch and sees sea rations, and he joins him and jumps off. The redneck opens his lunch and sees fried bologna, and he joins him in jumping off the building. At the funeral, the Idaho farmer's wife was weeping. She says, "I didn't know how much he was tired of lentil soup. Had I had known, I would have made him clam chowder." The former Army brat wife is also weeping and said, "I could have given him elk sticks instead. I didn't realize he hated sea rations so much." Then everyone, as it got quiet, turned to the redneck's wife. And she said, "Hey, don't look at me. He always packed his own lunch." Now, if we're not careful, we'll blame others or we'll join the crowd for our shortcomings, for our blessings. Instead, we need to embrace and realize when the Lord loves me enough to point out my sin, the Lord is concerned enough for me because I've asked him to examine, to try, to test me. So when he shows me, I'm going to correct it. You remember our school days and college days, whether it be high school, elementary school, college, trade school, whatever it may have been, military. When we had a test coming up and we studied and we got something wrong, we wanted to correct it. When we were quizzed by our spouse or by our fellow soldiers or our fellow students or whatever the case was, and we made a mistake, we wanted to correct it so we would get it right on the test. And dear friends, when the Lord shows us our shortcomings, when he examines, when he tries, when he tests us, and he shows us, we should have a desire to correct it instead of blaming someone else. You see, when we often create our own problems and trials, again, and then look for someone else to blame instead of saying, "Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for pointing that out. Lord, thank you for showing some things that need to be shaved from my life." Beloved, God may be trying to get our attention when those problems surface in our lives. The Lord wants us to do right. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, "Do right, do right, do right until the stars fall." See, he wants us to examine our Lord to ourselves and correct what needs to be corrected. And that's what our writer here in 2 John is saying, as he gives us a loving warning to heed that we are to look to ourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought. Knowing, having the Lord in our life, knowing our walk with God, to try ourselves, to look at ourselves, don't blame others, but say, "Lord, show me, prove me, refine me that I may serve you to my full potential." And this brings me to some questions as we prepare to almost close. First of all, two questions here. How do we really know what is going on in our hearts? We can't predict the future. Tomorrow, we can't predict the next minute. But how do we know what's going on in our hearts? Second question, how do we examine ourselves to discover what we are all about on the inside? That self-examination. And if it includes the Lord and not just self-examination, if we're bringing the Spirit of God into our trying, into our examination, into our testing to show us and invite him, "Lord, show me, reveal to me," it will answer these questions about our hearts and what's on the inside. A.W. Tozer said, "Self-knowledge is so critically important that we lie under heavy obligation to do immediately whatever is necessary to remove the disguise and permit our real selves to be known." So often, we know when we're praying. We can say, "Lord, show me." In many aspects, we already know. Are we trying to figure out if the Lord has figured it out yet or not? Are we really being honest with ourselves? As opposed, "Lord, forgive me of. Lord, help me with. Lord, help the struggle I have in this area." And as we pray through those things and say, "Lord, to my knowledge, Lord, if there's anything else that I don't know of, please bring it to my knowledge. Help me if I have overlooked these shortcomings in my life. Lord, help me." In his book, referring back to A.W. Tozer, The Incredible Christian, Tozer offered some suggestions about self-examination. I'd like to share with you before we close this morning. The first one is, what do you want most? What do you want most? Listen for the faint cry of desire within your heart. Ask, what would you rather have than anything else in the world? Reject conventional or socially acceptable answers. Seek the honest inner longing that reveals your true treasure. What do you want most? Number two, what do you think about most? In other words, notice where your mind drifts when you're free to think during quiet moments, drives, or before sleep. Your recurring thoughts often point to your secret heart treasure. What do you want most? What do you think about most? Let me put something in before we go on. How often do we think about our lost neighbors, the lost folks in the community where we shop and where we live, the ambulance service and police that drive by once in a while? How often do we think about their welfare and how we can reach them? Have you begun to pray and to think about our missions conference in April? Number three, how do you use your money? Focus on how you spend money beyond necessities. The way you use your discretionary funds reveals your priorities and your spiritual values. Yes, we need to pay the rent. We need to pay the mortgage. We need to pay insurance. We need to pay taxes. We need to take care of the utilities and the upkeep on our house. But what about beyond the necessities? What do you want most? What do you think about most? How do you use your money? Number four, how do you spend your leisure time? What do you do with free time? Avoiding idle distractions like mindless TV or gossip, and instead consider how your choices reflect your character. Do we take leisure time and invest that time in self-betterment? Lord, I want to spend a little extra time with you today in the Word and in prayer. Do you spend some of your leisure time encouraging others, a phone call, a text message, or an email, or reaching out to one of our missionaries, or being a blessing to someone as we have opportunity, our leisure time? Number five, why do you enjoy the company of? Who do you enjoy the company of? Where do you go when you're free? Proverbs 13:20 tells us, walk with the wise and become wise. Your choice of companions is a near infallible index of your character. So who do you enjoy the company of? And I'm talking about outside of our spouses. How do we spend our time? Who do we fellowship with? Number six, who or what do you admire? Who or what do you admire? Again, this is all taken from the book The Incredible Christian by E.W. Tozier. Examine your unexpressed admiration, especially for celebrities, leaders, or lifestyles. Tozier warned that secret admiration for the world can reveal a divided heart, even among Christians. What do you want the most? What do you think about the most? How do you use your finances? How do you spend your leisure time? Who do you enjoy the company of? Or who or what do you admire? And then number seven, what do you laugh at? Laughter unmasks a soul. What makes you laugh reveals your inner sensitivities. Avoid humor that mocks sacred things, death, love, prayer, suffering, or even God himself. Our writer this morning here, as we look at 2 John verse 8, a loving warning to heed our thought life, our prayer life, our devotional life, those that we spend time with, all have an impact on our walk in relationship with the Lord. How is our self-examination going? Is it going well or beyond? One more illustration, we'll get ready to wrap this up. Just came to me, Brother Hunt. We had four children, and I noticed a pattern with all the children, similar pattern. Here, I'll share it with you, and I think you'll get a kick out of this. You'll probably agree the same thing with your children, unless they're the exception. But Michelle would say, or I would say, kids, you need to go clean your room. And they would scurry off after first. They would scurry off to the room, clean their room, make their beds, And we had the routine of the mornings that the rooms were picked up, beds were made before you came to breakfast. But when mom wanted to do a deeper clean through the week on the weekend or day off of school, she would send them off to do their room. It wasn't long after that, they would come back and say, I'm done. And it was always a competition who was done first. Even if the room wasn't clean, they had to be first. They'd come out and Michelle would say, okay, let's go see. And she'll go into the room and 9 out of 10 times, she would find something. And she would look and maybe not say anything and check the other rooms and come back and say, okay, girls, okay, boys, son, you need to go back. I've noticed a few things you need to take care of. They go back to the rooms and try it one more time. And the point I'm trying to make is when we do it ourselves, and if we're not careful on self-examination and we don't invite the Lord in to try, to test, to examine, sometimes I think we go over things quickly. We're in a rush. We overlook things. Quite comical to me to walk into a bedroom and notice a big lump in the bedspread on the bed. Obviously, to them, cleaning up was just covering it up. Do we do the same thing with our sin? Do we cover it up? Or they put it underneath the bed. I don't know how many times that we have found in our son's room dirty plates with knives and forks and thought, when did he get up and get that snack? And then hide it underneath the bed. Again, we're not careful. And we don't invite the Lord in, number two this morning, on our self-examination, inviting him in. We may glaze over some things real quickly and think all is well because we can't see the potential of what we might be getting into. We may not see the danger that we're heading to. And we need to invite the Lord in that he might say, look out. He might put up a yield sign in a relationship you're thinking about developing. He might put a stop sign in an area that you're thinking about being a part of. But we won't know unless we invite him in. Are we allowing the Lord to have free reign? Are we inviting him in on a daily, hourly, moment situation in our life? Our writer again says, as we close this morning, a loving warning to heed. And this morning, the desire for purity will lead to self-examination. It will lead us to look. But then, we should have a desire to go beyond. We should include the Lord that he might examine, that he might try, that he might test. How are we doing in our walk? Will we take the warning that John has given us, a loving warning? Will you take the loving warning from your pastor this morning and look at your daily walk in your life and say, not only do I want to evaluate and self-examine, I want to invite the Lord in that he might examine, that he might try, that he might test, and show me that which I need to correct. Let's stand together for prayer this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our pianist will make her way to the piano this morning. We'll have a word of prayer and time of invitation for us to pray and say, Lord, examine me. And I want to encourage you this morning as we pray to ask the Lord to examine, to try, to test you, to show you, Lord, where do I need to work on? What do I need to pray about? What do I need to consider? There may be someone here this morning that doesn't know that they know that they know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. Why not say, Lord, help me? Why not come this morning and just walk down the aisle and say, I need to be saved. I need to know more about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, you may need to come for prayer, or maybe you want to come and pray and say, Lord, thank you for examining me. Thank you for testing me. Thank you for trying me. Father, please keep it up that I might keep short accounts with you. Father, you know the needs that are represented this morning. Pray that you work and speak to the hearts of your people as you have me this past week as I've studied and prepared. Help us to invite you in to examine, to try, to test. But then, Lord, also give us the courage to respond to the Holy Spirit when he moves and works in our life. Now, Father, bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. So our panelists plays this morning, if the Lord has spoken to your heart in any way, whether it be conviction, whether it be salvation, whether it be, Lord, thank you. Thank you for speaking to my heart. Lord, thank you for showing me some things. Thank you for testing, for trying, for examining me in my life. Whatever the case may be, where you stand or here at an altar, why not do business with the Lord this morning? Self-examination. easy just to go over briefly, quickly, on our way out the door. But what about taking the time and say, oh Lord, as our psalmist said, search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me to the way of everlasting. Lord, help me to see it, help me to correct it, that I might walk closer to you. For all hearts and minds are clear, you can look this way, and we'll be dismissed in just a moment. As always, remember that God loves you, His preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please not hesitate to ask. I'm accessible. I'll be meeting with some folks this week about baptism. If you've got questions about church membership, about baptism, about anything else I can help you with, please do not hesitate to reach out and schedule a time. I'm here. I've got a home office. I've also got a church office. I'm in town several days a week, and at least a day or two at home just closing the door to study. But in town other days of the week, I'd be happy to meet with you and help you any way that I can. All right.